You're listening to Cornfield Theology. I'm your host, Brooke Sevchek, here with our co-host.
What's up, everyone?
Jonathan Powers.
Jonathan, I haven't been called Jonathan in years.
We're back with Jonathan Powers.
Wow, nice voice. That's good. You should do that throughout the entire episode.
Okay.
Can you do it?
No.
I can try.
Well, how you doing, man?
Probably cough a lot. Hey, you know what I really like more than anything?
Well, I'm asking you a question. How you doing?
Why are you asking me that?
What are you drinking today?
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
Oh, Dunkin' Donuts?
No, I'm just kidding.
You've upped your game from that Cracker Barrel stuff?
No, I don't drink Cracker Barrel coffee except when I'm at work.
Oh, okay.
At Cracker Barrel.
At Cracker Barrel. Part-time
I'm
job.
Drinking Hy-Vee coffee, but I also had a cup of Azure Chai tea.
Ooh.
Yep.
Nice.
Gotta get the caffeine. And you know what I like more than anything else is the question I wanted to ask you a second ago.
Yeah.
Did you so rudely interrupt
it? What? Come on. No, you never answered my question, so I went back to it. But what are you going to ask
me? I interrupted you is actually what happened. I like easy stuff.
Like, what do you mean by easy? Like stuff
when I don't really have to work at it.
All the mental strain, you don't want to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The questions when we get so deeply theological or the episodes where we do that are the ones where
I'm just like working for it.
I'm like, oh, my brain is fried, and I get to the episode, I'm like, I don't even know what I'm
talking
about anymore.
You know what the easy stuff? Just go to Twitter. Lots of easy stuff on there.
What are you talking about? You want the easy stuff? Go to the Gospel Coalition website.
Oh, why do you hate on the Gospel Coalition so much?
Because they shot me down for a job I applied for.
Did you really apply?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they emailed me and they were like, we're looking for other people, sorry.
That reminds me when I was applying like to PhD programs. And, you know, when you're, at least for me, when I was applying, there's like schools you know you're going to get into. You have a pretty good sense just based upon their criteria and whatever. And then you have like the long shot ones, right? And so I had one long shot. It was like the school, if I knew I wasn't going to get in, but I was going to apply.
Yeah, St. John's
no.
Catholic University.
No, it was Notre Dame. And so.
What do you mean you wouldn't get into Notre Dame?
Well, I don't know. It's competitive. It's really good. But anyways, they sent me the most gracious rejection letter.
You got rejected from Notre Dame?
Yeah, what are you
going to
do?
What is it with you in Catholic schools?
I don't know. It was so kind. I'm like, oh, that's really sweet of them. They rejected me.
Did you see? I saw a picture on Twitter, I think, of a Notre Dame football game when someone from the other supporter of a different team, the team they were playing, was holding up a picture of Martin Luther.
Yeah, I saw that.
So good.
It was probably a Georgia game or something.
But anyway, talking about easy topics, I want to talk about something that actually might be pretty beneficial to some listeners,
yeah,
but
help, yeah.
Which I don't really have to think hard about. And that is, I think the theologians, pastors, authors who've most influenced us.
Yeah, that's good. That's a great topic. It's fun to think about. And hopefully it's helpful for folks. Well, let's start with you. Let's give me your top two theologians, and then I'll give you my top two.
Theologians?
Yeah, let's start with there.
Like, influential in my life, who I respect most. This could go in a lot of different,
those who had the most impact on your life, in terms of your thinking and your development.
Okay. If you would consider him a theologian, David Platt had the highest impact on my life.
Yeah.
Specifically because when I was in high school and really studying the faith a lot, I grew theologically a lot in high school, came a lot from David Platt.
Cool.
Second most would be R.C. Sproul.
Yeah.
He kind of gave the theological depth and the emphasis on the glory of God to me that was the foundation for most of my studies.
Yeah.
Those two men I care about so much for people I have not met. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank goodness that David Platt is so young and likely won't go to be in glory anytime soon.
Yeah, he's doing good stuff.
Because when R.C. Sproul did, that tore me up.
Yeah. For me, I'm just thinking back actually to, you know, I mean, how old am I? So about 15 years ago, people I was reading.
You're 37.
38, dude. You got your years wrong.
It doesn't matter. When you're that old, it's just old.
Yeah.
30 plus? Who counts years anymore?
No one. Not after,
you go
not
from
after 30.
Middle you go, age to boomer. That's where you're in the middle point between middle age and boomer is where you're at.
I don't even know where I'm at in that whole spectrum. I'm not a boomer. That's all I know.
Yeah, almost.
I'm not a millennial.
You are a millennial. By the definition of millennial, you are one.
Some people start at like 1980. Some do 90, 81, 82, 83. So I just look at
by any of those numbers.
I was born in 81. So, you know, if millennialism or the millennials start in 82, 83, that means I missed the cutoff.
No, you're a millennial.
Anyways, top two.
I'm going to start saying, okay, millennial.
When I got saved, John Piper was massive. I read Desiring God pretty quickly.
Yeah, I read four chapters of it.
And then you stopped?
Yeah. I've never read a Piper book in full.
What?
I'm trying to think if there's an exception to that.
Hunger for God, Desiring God.
No, there's no exception. I've never finished a Piper book.
Brothers
I can't
were not
do it.
Professionals.
I've never read that one at all. All the others you've just read, I've at least started.
Yeah.
But no, Piper's hard for me to get through. Not because he's a difficult or dry. It just sounds, it's slow. It's slow paced.
I appreciated Desiring God and his idea of Christian hedonism that made an impact. You know, it's interesting. I thinking of who else? C.S. Lewis.
No.
His writings made an impact.
You know what's so funny? Do you know who John Piper's top two most influential authors are?
No, I have no idea.
I went to a conference when he told us his top two most influential authors
are... Edwards and Lewis. That's what I'll guess.
He said Lewis.
Okay.
And Chesterton.
Oh, okay.
And Edwards is number three.
Okay.
Now, I think... Maybe I'm remembering wrong or maybe something happened because Edwards should be his number one.
Yeah.
But maybe it was Edwards, Chesterton, and Lewis.
Okay.
But isn't that weird that Chesterton and Lewis would be up there with his...
Why is that weird?
Because Chesterton was a Catholic.
Yeah.
Who hated Calvinism.
Right.
And Protestantism.
In general.
And because Lewis was an Anglican.
Yeah.
And... they're just very different theologically from Piper, and yet
great thinkers,
Piper's
though.
Most influential.
Yeah.
The thing that Chesterton and Lewis have in common is that they're both very philosophical.
That's right.
And very well written. I do love G.K. Chesterton and C.S. Lewis.
So with Lewis, for me, so Mere Christianity was a book that really got me thinking. And then his space trilogy, everyone goes to his Chronicles of Narnia, which I love as well. But his books, Space Trilogy, those three books, I ate that up. I loved that. So if you're not a sci-fi person, it's probably not your jam. But my home, we watched a lot of Star Trek.
Which
X-Files,
one?
X-Files. So.
Which Star Trek?
All of them. Deep Space Nine, the original one. The one with, I'm forgetting now. Bald guy.
Captain Picard.
What's his real name, though? I forget his real name. But anyways. And then...
doesn't matter.
Voyager.
He's Captain Picard.
So Voyager, right? Is that what it's called?
Yep, Voyager. Voyager's probably the most philosophical of all Star Treks.
So if I'm remembering correctly...
However, it's also one of the worst.
The lead actress went to my high school in Dubuque. She went to...
Janeway?
She's got the red head.
Captain Janeway?
I think so, yeah.
Kate, what's her name? Kate?
Yeah, I don't know.
Kate Mulgrew, that's her name.
Yeah.
Kate Mulgrew went to your...
Mulgrew. Yeah, yeah.
She went to your high school?
Yeah, how about that? So that's the connection.
You know who went to my high school?
Who's that?
John Grisham. All right, case closed.
That's what I told you.
He's
a great author. I read a lot of his books, too.
Really?
So
very prolific. He writes a ton.
Yeah. So back to the influential. So the question is now, in what ways have they influenced us? I think for Piper, it is that idea of Christian hedonism. I think with Lewis, he gave me some categories that I really felt like I was working with now in terms of how to understand Christianity. And Mere Christianity obviously does that to some degree. So, and then his Chronicles of Narnia, just brilliant.
I've never read almost anything of his.
Yeah, no, I read those to my kids now, and they love it, and it's good stuff. What about pastors? That's, you know, obviously John Piper is not only a theologian.
Who
pastor.
I'm going to just
group
you said
them Platt.
Together.
Yeah,
Platt and Sproul are both pastors.
Yeah,
so.
That's good.
I went on a journey though. For me, it started with Platt, and I stayed with him. But I grew, and people started to grow an influence on me. So I had Platt and then Sproul. And then Sproul, ever since I had Sproul, has probably been the one I read the most.
Yeah.
And still, like, my favorite, definitely the largest influence on me. And
you know another one that we both love? And
Sam Storms.
Yep,
That's actually who I was getting to. My first year of college, I got into Sam Storms. Really helpful, really well-written. Very like down to earth, kind.
It was him that really got me into thinking about how being a continuationist and a Calvinist kind of work together.
Oh yeah.
I think his book was called Convergence, if I'm not mistaken. I have to go back and look, but
yeah, it is. Cause
yeah.
That's what his conference is called.
Okay.
So yeah, he's a dope dude. I really like Sam Storms. And then also around the same time started getting into Spurgeon. I read the book, The Soul Winner.
Yep.
absolutely fantastic. Read the book, All of Grace. Yeah. Really good. And then, yeah, just been with Spurgeon ever since. And so Sproul and Spurgeon are probably still the two that influenced me the most, you know, a Baptist and a Presbyterian.
So I think it's great to talk about these individuals who have had an impact in our lives. I'm sure many of you listening, you know, you've read Lewis or Sproul or Piper or whatever. But I think we don't want to overlook the impact lesser known people have had on our lives. You know, local church pastors, for example.
When it comes to sermons, in like day in, day out, sermons, Rick Gamache has been the most influential on me.
Yep.
When it comes to actual pastoral care, probably Pastor John Sager,
okay,
who took me into his home and cared for me. And he discipled me more than anyone else. And then also Pastor Sean Powers of Redemption Hill Church in Waukee, Iowa, has been huge influence on me. Mm-hmm. Because he has discipled me for the last few years, and especially with not just my faith, but also moving into ministry, he's had the most influence on me, teaching me how to do pastoral care, how to move into church planting and the things the Lord has called me to.
Yeah, and I think the greater point is that we all are being impacted on a local level, and really
that's... And that should be primary.
Absolutely. So it's good to point out these other individuals, whether they're still alive or they're deceased, who've had a great impact, but don't overlook what's going on right in front of you in your local church. Like, for example, after I got saved, I was at a local church and the pastor just started discipling me and would, you know, took me on vacation with him and his family. Like, he would do things and allow me to see Christian faith actually being lived out in very practical ways, the good, the bad, and the messy. And so that kind of discipleship only happens on a local level. And I'll never forget that. I'm so grateful for what he has done to care for my soul during those years. And so, read the Piper, read the Sproul, but don't forget.
Absolutely. Especially because we're trying to give people that are accessible to you.
Yeah.
So obviously you should be under the care of your pastors of your local church. But if you're going to be studying or reading, unless you have published pastors, you know, people at your church, if you're trying to read, listen to sermons, things like that, you can go outside, just within the, I don't know how to say it, but you can go outside your local church.
Yeah. Another thing for me, seminary was significant in terms of some of the professors.
Please don't say Grudem.
The professors that spoke into my life. No, not Grudem. I didn't have Grudem at seminary I went to.
I thought you were going to talk about books.
No.
Ben Merkel?
No, I had him for class.
I thought you were going to talk about Ben Merkel.
No, he was great. He came my last year there and taught New Testament. So, but there were professors at Southeastern who made an impact in my life.
Southeastern Methodist Theological
Methodist.
Seminary.
Methodist. You've offended everyone at Southeastern. They're Baptist.
If the shoe fits. School.
I'll let them go after you.
Just from a Midwestern student, a little bit of a hate across the across the Mississippi. Actually, is Kansas City east or west of the Mississippi?
Dude, your geography, it's west.
I don't know that. Is it west?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah,
very much west.
From the other side of the Mississippi.
Oh my goodness.
What do you mean very much west?
St. Louis is on the Mississippi.
I don't know where St. Louis is in comparison
to the other side of the state of Missouri.
Is Kansas City to the east or west of Missouri?
Of the Missouri?
Of Missouri.
Oh, of Missouri. It's in Missouri.
But is it on the left side or the right side?
On the west side. Okay.
Look, I don't know anything about geography. It's so little. It's nothing.
Oh, where were we? I don't even know. Anyways.
Just hating on Southeastern
across the I had some good professors there who, you know, they have you for a class or two. I had one particular professor where I took a lot of his classes, and he really shaped my thinking in terms of how do I read the Bible. He was a church history professor that I've appreciated and I continue to appreciate. And then you get, you know, professors who you have them once or twice. My Hebrew professor, he was fantastic. He was older. I think he retired when I was finishing up. But he said some things that just, you know, impacted my soul. Just, you know, teaching Hebrew. So I don't want to overlook, you know, the people that are right in front of you, whether it's in a local church, maybe you're in seminary or whatever, Bible school, or a local community group or small group or cell group or whatever.
Yeah, those absolutely. Folks are going to have small group, cell group, community group, discipleship group.
We call them community groups. Life group. It's funny. We call them community groups, but I tell you, when I have a conversation with somebody, they're like, "So we're doing this for small group, or we're doing this for discipleship group, or we're doing," you know, they just use a different language.
Oh yeah, we don't actually say what we.
Yeah.
We don't actually say what we really use at our church. Most of the time, I know I never do. I forget. I usually say life group or D group.
Yeah, right. So, anyways.
You know what's funny about Piper? Because you mentioned Piper was a huge influence on you. I had a professor at Bethany, the first school I went to, named Dr. Jim Ramo, and he used to call me a Piper Cub in class all the time. I guess because I was Calvinistic and kind of Baptist, and he just thought I'd love Piper. I mean, I do like Piper, but Piper has been one of the least influential on me from his tribe.
Yeah,
it's not by because I don't appreciate
him or anything.
By tribe,
you mean
like
kind
that.
Of the Reform crowd?
It's like the new, the young, restless Reform crowd.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? So when it comes to like Piper, Platt, Matt Chandler, Sam Storms, Francis Chan.
Driscoll back in the day.
Drisky, you know what I mean? Drisky as Ted Cluck, Ronnie Martin, and Barnabas Piper call him on their podcast.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Until they got blocked. Now they can't do it anymore. They called it Drisky Business when they talk about it.
Really?
It was pretty good. You really need to listen to that podcast. Man. Actually, it's been this month. They've been kind of off. I don't know why.
It's Christmas.
They've been complaining about having to even record on their podcast every episode. I'm like, can we please?
We're not complaining.
But Piper has been one of the least influential from that group that you would expect him to have had. Even Ligon Duncan has had a huge influence on me. Al Mohler. Yeah. All those people in his tribe.
Yeah, Mohler, I haven't read much of his books. I have one book on leadership, but his podcast, The Briefing, I mean, I listen to that.
I listen to it all the time.
Yeah, it's good stuff there.
Listen to it today, matter of fact.
Yeah. So there's a lot of good thinkers out there. It's got a lot of good books to read. You know, I love history, church history in particular, so I'm always looking back to old dead people.
So we've talked, that's what we've talked a lot about, living people. Mm. What dead theologians, pastors, authors have you read most?
Well, the aforementioned C.S. Lewis, that would definitely
I guess I've talked about living people more than you.
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and there's, you mentioned Spurgeon earlier.
Absolutely.
So there's some works by Martin Luther that are important. I even go further back, say, Cyril of Alexandria, Athanasius, I'm trying to think through people that have made a particular impact on my life.
I think, I mean, out of people who are no longer living, Spurgeon's definitely the one I've read most, but Augustine I've read a lot of.
Oh, Augustine, yeah.
I've read I've read Augustine's work on the Trinity a lot. I've read City of God.
Got Calvin's Institutes.
That's what I was getting at next. And then right after him would probably be Calvin. I've read a lot of Calvin. Oh. I still go to Calvin all the time, especially for papers, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's one more guy. I'm blanking on his name right now, but I go to his systematic theology a lot. He's a Presbyterian.
Oh, Burkhoff?
No. Presbyterian from 1800s.
Hodge.
Yes. Charles Hodge. That's
Charles
who it
Hodge,
is.
Yeah.
Charles Hodge, his systematic theology, just of recent, like within the last probably 6 months to a year, I've been reading his
three volumes. Though, that
I have it on a Kindle, so it's all of them are in one. But it's a three volume systematic theology, and it's really good. The only problem with Charles Hodge is that he will just quote other like people.
Oh.
And he quotes them in their original language without translating it.
Oh.
So he'll quote Augustine in Latin, and I'm like...
Gotta go figure out
but
the Latin.
He builds off of their argument. And so I'm like, I have no idea what that is, and I can't follow the argument. Or he'll quote...
It's almost like you're missing the premise.
Yeah, and he'll quote the Greek. He'll do it for, you know, all kinds of languages. He quoted Calvin in French, I think, once. But anyway...
He doesn't
translate the languages. He'll just be like, and this is why Augustine said, and he gives a whole paragraph of Latin and then moved on. I'm like, okay, I wish I knew what Augustine said. That would be great. I guess I need to learn a research language.
Yeah. Latin would be a good one. You got theological French, theological German.
I'd learn Latin because I think Augustine was the most influential theologian throughout all of church history, easily. And so
it's what you see with the reformers, right?
I would really want to study Augustine. Yeah,
you get to the Reformation, and they're all going back to the text, to, you know, and they're like, look at Augustine. my goodness. And so, yeah.
Augustine's my boy, my homeboy.
He's a goat. He is a goat.
And then with Latin, you'd read just a lot of church history.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Latin was the language for so long in church history. So what about modern day, let's say strictly theologians. So not pastors, but if you're going to seminary or Bible school or whatever, you're going to read that particular book. So here I would say Grudem's had a huge influence, I think, generally speaking, in reform circles or even just in seminaries or whatever.
Yeah, when it comes to...
systematic theology.
When it comes to, like, our brand of Reformed...
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
When it comes to...
kind of that Baptist.
The other, like, the actual... not everyone but me is not Reformed. Presbyterian crew would have nothing to do with Grudem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely.
But Grudem has had a big influence on me theologically. Actually, I read his systematic theology cover to cover when I was in high school.
Did you?
Yep.
Was it the Bible doctrine one or the big, thick systematic theology
The big,
one?
Thick systematic right. theology. Yeah, my friend Adam gave it to me when I was a junior or a senior, and I looked at it. I was like, wow, this is really awesome. I'd never really been into doctrine, like studying it. I'd never really had a great book on it.
Yeah.
And I read it cover to cover. It was great. It's still influential. If I don't use it when I'm writing a paper or an essay, though. I feel like it's not as scholarly
right.
for me to use as some other systematic theologies if I were to even use one. But
when it comes to church history, I've read a lot by Mark Knoll. He would be a church historian these days. Thomas Kidd. So whenever they come out with
I haven't books, I tend studied to... church history very in depth. The one book that I've read most of, I'm reading it now, is Church History in Plain Language by Bruce Shelley.
Oh yeah.
And that is really good.
That's pretty common, you know, if you're gonna learn, take Church History 1, Church History 2.
And maybe I'll have to read it again for school. Who knows?
Yeah.
For me though, if I were to make one recommendation to people, it would easily be R.C. Sproul. If I had to pick one person to read for the rest of my life.
One person, one book. What would you say?
If it only had to be one book,
yeah.
Calvin's Institutes.
Yeah.
But that kind of stinks because I would rather just pick one person and say Sproul. Sproul doesn't have one gigantic, like as far as I know, he doesn't have one gigantic volume on everything. He's got a bunch of books, you know?
Yeah.
And so if it was just one book, Calvin's Institutes, which actually might not even just be considered one book. I think they're considered like five.
Right, yeah.
But if one person... than R.C. Sproul easily. And so if I were to recommend someone to my friends, family, whoever, people listening to the podcast, it'd be him. He's not only a fantastic author who has works on just about everything that you can go read, he's got fantastic sermons. His Q&A sessions from Ligonier, always really helpful to me.
Yeah.
He's just all around. He's got it, man. It's really good. And if you're not listening to the Renewing Your Mind podcast, which is from Ligonier, still about half of the things that they put up are his sermons because he's got so many and they're really good, really encouraging. So he's my biggest person I'd pass along. What about you?
You know, I think I go back to Augustine, City of God, Confessions, made a huge impact in my life. I love church history. So, and then you get to the reformers and they're all reading Augustine, and, you know, like we already said, so. His general impact on Christianity is massive. And so it's a kind of an easy one for me. You know, another name that probably not as well known, but had an impact in my life in terms of his writing is John Selhammer. He's since deceased, but he wrote a book called Meaning of the Pentateuch, which made a huge impact in my life in terms of how do I read the Pentateuch? And that was good. He got a couple other books, Genesis Unbound, his view on, you know, the creation story within Genesis. And so
so if you're studying the Old Testament, Sean's recommending John Selhammer.
Yeah, I would. Yep. I really like what he's, I mean, you're not going to agree with everything he said or he has said, but, he is brilliant. So,
however, I'd say when it comes to authors, the one we should all be reading the most, the one who should be influencing us the most is obviously the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit.
I knew you were going there. Yeah, absolutely. Read the Word, man.
Read the Word of God.
Let that impact your soul, change your life.
Yeah, other theologians and authors are only theologically helpful to the extent that they open up the Word of God, teach it, defend it.
That's right.
So, well, that was a pretty easy episode. Yeah. We probably won't have anything to say for cornfield cleanup.
No.
But we'll be back in 5 seconds just to tell you we don't have anything to
just
say.
Just in case.
All right, we're back with some cornfield cleanup.
Let's clean it up.
All right, what we're done with cornfield cleanup.
See you later.
Thank you guys for listening to us. If you have authors or anybody like that you'd recommend, we'd love to hear your comments, questions. You know, we mentioned a lot of people that we have really benefited from, that we really love. Mm. If you have been influenced by them too, it'd be cool to hear your stories.
Yeah.
How you, how they've helped you in the same way.
Yeah, in the
comments.
Maybe
even
section.
Book recommendations.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm always looking for good book recommendations, so put it in the comments. That'd be awesome.
Send us a message. Hit us up, redemptionhilldsm.org/cornfieldtheology, or however you want to. And we will see you guys in the next episode.
Take it easy.